Warner Brothers Pictures presents a Malpaso production. A city at night. Pale yellow and green lights glow in office blocks. A black helicopter hovers in the air. Its searchlights are turned onto a white house with a grey slate roof. Police cars are parked in the road outside the building. Dark figures walk across the path at the base of some steps, which lead to the front entrance of the house. A car drives along a road, running beside a pair of floodlit tennis courts. Bloodwork. Two men in suits watch a car approaching.
Caleb, whatever happens, it'll be his face on the front page.
The car comes to a stop outside the house and the driver gets out. He's a tall man with an authoritative air about him. He shows his badge and a strip of police tape is lifted for him to duck under. Then he joins his two colleagues.
What do you have?
Well, I've had hemorrhoids for a while now. What do you have?
Victims 5 and 6. Code killer strikes again.
You know, a vegetarian, right? How do you like your steak? Big, red, juicy?
Neighbor came over to complain about the noise. He got run over at the door. Neighbor said he saw this from the door there.
Bachelor number one here. He hasn't been dating lately. Apparently, he's a bedwetter.
You're sick, you know that, Arango?
It's all over. Yeah.
Neighbor says that he didn't see a thing.
Oh, look, this might be important, too, Terry. The maid quit about 6 years ago. She didn't like the neighborhood.
McCaleb pauses to watch a CSI team at work in a lounge.
We're calling him Chuck Taylor.
Oh, how's that?
Well, the prints, look. Converse, high tops, Chuck Taylor. You get it, right? You gotta be shitting me. You don't know who Chuck Taylor is. Basketball coach, Stanford, Cardinals.
You got the remains of two, maybe even three people.
But then again, one of them could be a midget. In any case, it's a hell of a gangbang.
Unless you can joke about it, you shouldn't be doing it.
A body lies sprawled on a bed, covered with a blood-stained sheet. Written on the wall in blood is a message reading, "McCaleb, catch me," followed by the numbers 903-472-568.
Another love note. Maybe the two of you ought to get a room someplace.
McCaleb's brow furrows into a frown as he stares at the writing on the wall. The thick strokes of bled crimson trails which streak the patchy green plaster. He heads outside and is immediately engulfed by a swarm of reporters.
Why do you think people are singling you out, Mr. McCaleb? Why does he focus on you? Are there numbers this time? Is the message me? What does the message mean?
Do you know, sir?
He loves
you. What do you think this man wants from you? What is
the message? McCaleb tries to escape the incessant attentions of the reporters. He spots something through a chink in the crowd and tries to focus on it. He sees a pair of feet in blood-stained trainers. The bearded, hooded figure realizes he has McCaleb's attention and runs off. McCaleb sets off after him, wearing a steely expression. As the two of them race down the pavement, Arango and his partner, Waller, look puzzled. The helicopter follows the chase down an alleyway. The hooded man reaches a tall fence and leaps over it. McCaleb takes a more direct approach, running through the obstacle like a battering ram. The fence falls down, and so does he, but he quickly recovers and continues the chase. The man jumps over a concrete ledge, and McCaleb follows a second later, but makes a bad landing, giving his quarry an increased lead. As they race through a derelict building, the spotlight from the helicopter shines through the windows. McCaleb is only a few meters behind the hooded man, but he can't close the gap. The man is considerably younger than him, and although sheer grit and determination have got him this far, McCaleb seems to be suffering. The man races up and over a mound of sand on a building site and through a small gap in the barrier. He hurtles towards a mesh fence and starts to climb it. McCaleb manages to grab his foot and reaches up to take a hold of the man's ankle, but his quarry shakes his foot free and scrambles over the fence, leaving McCaleb holding his trainer. McCaleb grips onto the mesh fence with a rigid look of agonizing pain on his face. As he sinks to the ground, the man he's been chasing stops and looks curious. The hooded figure begins to very slowly approach McCaleb, whose teeth are gritted in pain. Slumped on the ground, he clutches his chest, then his shoulder. He's aware of the approaching figure, but powerless to act. McCaleb sinks back with his eyes closed, then suddenly pulls a gun from inside his pocket and fires off some shots at the man. One of the shots hits its mark and the man grunts in pain, then throws himself out of the line of fire and disappears down an alley. Having used his last remaining ounce of strength, McCaleb lies back with his gun across his chest. The helicopter hovers overhead. McCaleb lies on his back and gazes into the white glare of the spotlight shining down on him. The light changes to a bulb in a lamp above an operating table. 2 years later, McCaleb's having keyhole surgery.
Clear.
Almost there. Good, coming out. Good, Terry, you did good. Have you been taking your pills every day?
Yeah. You're all 34 of them.
No fever at all?
No. All clear of that.
No diarrhea?
No, nothing.
Good. Blood pressure and pulse?
Right on target.
And the boat, you're not working too hard on it?
No, just enough to keep it afloat, that's all.
Okay, well, I'll be back in a bit. I want to go check this blood work and get the tissue over to the lab.
Okay.
McCaleb holds a blue piece of material against his throat. A porter wheels him along a hospital corridor, and McCaleb glances in on an anxious man sitting on the bed of a young boy. The two men's eyes meet. McCaleb's doctor is looking at some results.
Well, don't start running labs yet, but I'm very pleased. No rejection. All your blood levels are good. I might lower your prednisone next week.
Oh, thank God. Getting tired of shaving 3 times a day.
Lean forward.
The doctor places a stethoscope against his back.
May I ask you something, Doc?
Don't talk. Sit up. Okay, come around.
McCaleb swivels round and lowers the top part of his gown. He has a huge scar that runs between his pectorals.
All right, what did you want to ask me?
The kid in 218. What's his blood type?
It's different from yours, if that's what you wanted to know.
How long's he been waiting?
About half as long as you did.
What are his chances?
Maybe 50-50, maybe less. What's bothering you, Terry?
I don't know. When I was at the Bureau, we had to qualify once a year on the range. You know, shoot at targets, stuff like that. And we had this one thing where you shoot a circle around the heart. It was called the 10 ring. That was the highest score.
Typical. You hang around for almost 2 years waiting for a heart. You draw your string out and almost don't make it. And then you wonder whether we should have given you that heart. You know what that is?
BS.
Exactly. Go home and enjoy your boat. See you next week.
How you doing?
McCaleb passes through a security gate at the entrance to a jetty, then heads along the wooden walkway.
Morning, Terry.
Morning. It's 2 in the afternoon, buddy.
long as my old man keeps sending those checks, it's whatever time I say it is.
Whatever.
Heads up, by the way. Somebody's on your boat. Been here 10 minutes. Looked harmless. I didn't say anything. Looks better than harmless.
May I help you, miss?
I'm looking for Tara McCaleb.
You're looking at him.
Graciela Rivers. I have read about you, Mr. McCaleb, in the paper, in the Where Are They Now column. Well, you know, in the Metro section.
Well, you're not the first person to come out here and try to find me, miss. I can recommend a good private investigator who won't rip you off.
The article said you were the best. It also said you hated it when someone got away.
Well, if you read the article carefully, you know what happened to me and that I'm retired, Miss Rivers.
Graciela.
Graciela.
I think you could help me.
How's that?
Maybe even help yourself, Mr. McCaleb.
I don't need any money.
I'm not talking about money.
She gives him a photograph of a woman with a young boy.
Sister?
And her son.
Which one?
Excuse me?
Which one's dead?
My sister. Gloria Torres. Glory. And her son's name is Raymond.
I don't think I can help you, miss.
Why don't you just look at it again, please? Just one more time and I'll leave you alone. Just tell me if you will perceive anything or feel anything.
Miss Rivers, I'm a retired FBI man, not a psychic. Do you want this back or not?
I have a double. You know, two for the price of one. You'll want to keep that one.
Why is that?
She places a hand on his chest.
Your heart, Mr. McCaleb. It was my sister's.
How do you know that?
Newspaper. You have the same blood type as her, AB with CMV negative, and you were operated on the same day she died. My number's on the back. Change your mind.
She walks away, leaving McCaleb looking thoughtful. In his cabin, he leans over a desk and adds a mark to a neatly kept register clamped on a clipboard. Later, he sits up in bed and picks up the photograph Graciela gave him. He shines a torch on it. He turns the photograph over, then gets up. He's standing at a public payphone.
Miss Rivers, this is Terry McCaleb. Yeah, I'm sorry about it being so late, but I just wanted to tell you that I'm going to go down and see the police tomorrow and see what's going on. Now, don't go thanking me and don't get your hopes up. I'm just going to have a look. I owe your sister that much.
Daytime. A yellow cab pulls up outside the police station. McCaleb heads inside wearing sunglasses and carrying a box of donuts under his arm.
Can I help you?
Detective Arango and Waller are around here.
Your name?
McCaleb. I'm here about the Gloria Torres case.
McCaleb sighs as he waits for the young desk sergeant to finish his call.
Down the hall, up the stairs, first door on your right.
Thanks.
McCaleb passes a portrait of a smiling commissioner as he approaches the office.
Well, Mr. McCaleb.
Detective Arango.
I was sure you were dead or retired by now. Guy up front says you want to talk to me about Gloria Torres.
Yeah, is there a place we can talk privately?
About what?
I'm looking into her death.
Here we go again with the same old shit. All right, I'll give you 5 minutes, cinco. And that's it before I toss your ass right out of here. Go ahead, have a seat. My partner will be here in a minute.
Hey, want a donut?
I don't want a goddamn donut. I want to know who you're working for, and I bet it's her sister, isn't it?
That's right.
I knew it, son of a bitch. All right, let me see your ticket.
I don't have a license, if that's what you're talking about.
Is it stuffy in here? Is it hot in here for you?
No.
Just a little air.
Let me get us just a little air here. It might be a little more comfortable. Okay, let me get this straight. You're conducting a homicide investigation into the Gloria Torres case, right?
That's true.
And you don't have a license to practice as a private investigator in the state of California.
That's right.
Mr. McCaleb, do you know that it's a crime in this state to practice being a private investigator without a license?
Well, you knock off the crap. I just wanted to have a talk, that's all. And you can knock off the tape, too. And Waller's leaning against the microphone, so you're not going to pick up anything.
What do you tell me?
I don't know. In the 3.5 years we've been interrogating people here, maybe I forgot.
Come on, fellas. I'm just here to help. Have a donut, huh?
Arango sits down, looking exasperated.
How do you know Graciela Rivers?
She's an acquaintance. I told her I'd look into it.
That's all.
Well, you guys aren't going to have one. I'm going to have one.
McCaleb takes the donut out of the box and starts to eat. Waller edges over to the table and peers into the box before taking one himself. Realizing he's outnumbered, Arango gives in to temptation. The only sound in the room is the steady chomping of the three men.
Look, I don't care what her sister told you, Mr. Former FBI profiler, but this ain't the type of case you like anyways. This ain't one of them glamorous cases that are gonna get you some headlines. This isn't Charles Manson or Ted fucking Bundy. This is a run-of-the-mill, ordinary convenience store robbery. Some idiot with a gun and a mask, with the right ratio of balls to brains, pull the trigger. That's all this is.
I know, but I told her I'd check it out. Now, you've been on this a couple months. A fresh pair of eyes won't hurt at all. I'm not gonna grandstand anybody. Any information I get, I'll give it to you people first. I'm not trying to one-up anyone.
What do you want?
A copy of the murder book and a video walkthrough of the crime scene. I was always pretty good with crime scenes.
No can do.
Why not?
No way, man.
How often does the sister call you?
Every day, weekends, holidays. And believe it or not, we got feelings here, and it hurts me to have to tell her there's no new leads, there's no new suspect, there's nothing.
All right, I can get her off your case. I tell her that I looked into it, you boys are doing a good job, then she stops calling.
Well, you were always pretty good at a crime scene, but the key word here is were. Are you still?
You just give me a copy of the tape, that's all.
Oh, we got more than just a crime scene tape. We've got the crime. Bring the donuts, come on.
On a black and white monitor.
It's Kyung-Won Kang, the owner.
He's about to make his last sale on Earth. She comes in to buy a candy bar. Can you believe that?
Yeah, for a kid.
And here he is, bada-bing. Pow, pow.
He picked up all the shells.
You're not gonna see this in America's favorite home videos, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, there's no sound on that camera, is there?
Right, he's just talking to himself.
Yeah. Okay, could run it again in slow motion.
Now, hold on, it's not over yet. This guy coming up here, we call the Good Samaritan. Watch. This guy actually goes up and down the aisles looking for bandages, I guess. I don't know. Couldn't find any, so he used paper towels and wrapped her head in it. And as you can see, the camera never really gets a good look at him. After he's finished, he goes outside, he dials 911, and splits.
The voice on the tape was Latino. We figured the guy was illegal, afraid to stick around.
Yeah, well, that's too bad, because time is so short. You probably got to look at the car or else the shooter himself.
We put out flyers, went on all the Spanish stations, nothing.
May I?
Knock yourself out.
McCaleb rewinds the tape to the point where the gunman is holding Gloria with his arm around her neck.
Pushing the pause button ain't gonna help her none.
McCaleb notes down the time.
$32 in the cash register.
Man, look at that. He winked.
What?
Yeah.
The masked gunman winks almost imperceptibly. McCaleb winds the tape on to the point when the Good Samaritan enters the store. He's wearing a baseball cap and has a beard.
Well, there you have it, Mr. FBI guy. Educate us. Tell us something we don't know.
Well, shooter's been in the store before, that's for sure. He knew the exact placement of the camera. Maybe he's from the neighborhood, but maybe he just cased the place. And this isn't the first time either. He's no emotion, no panic, policed up his own brass. Now this guy's done it before.
A look passes between Arango and Waller.
What? How many others? Come on, you gotta let me look at the murder book.
Can't do that. We gotta talk to our lieutenant. We'll be in touch.
When?
Give me a number. We'll be in touch.
McCaleb scribbles down a number, and Arango snatches it off him ill-temperedly and shoves it in his pocket.
You guys can keep the donuts.
McCaleb, we don't eat your donuts or your shit. We got enough of our own.
McCaleb walks into Kang's Valley Market. He picks up a chocolate bar and approaches the dark-haired woman standing behind the counter.
Mrs. Kang?
Yes, I know you.
No. No, I just heard what happened here. Your husband and all, I'm sorry.
Yes, thank you. The only way to keep evil out is not to unlock door. We can't do that. We must have business.
Yeah. Thank you, ma'am.
McCaleb heads outside and walks along the pavement, distractedly rubbing the scar on his chest. He stops next to a payphone and picks up the handset. He dials three numbers, then hangs up. He notices a man in a baseball cap watching him from a black car across the road.
Hey, you gonna pay me or should I drive you somewhere else?
Here's public library.
McCaleb looks back across the road, but the black car has gone. In the library, he types the words robbery, ski mask, shooting into a search engine. His craggy face is reflected in the screen as he takes a pill. As the results come up, he quickly scans the headlines. The first describes a man gunned down at an ATM. The second tells the tale of the shooting at Kang's Market. McCaleb is shown into an office at the county sheriff's headquarters.
Detective Winston said to wait here, she'll be right with you.
Thanks.
McCaleb takes off his sunglasses and goes to look at some framed certificates on the wall. In amongst them is a newspaper piece headed, Officer Solves Cemetery Man Murders. McCaleb is pictured alongside an official and an attractive woman in her 40s.
Well, 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 Carrie McCaleb.
Hi.
As I live and breathe. Look at you.
Look at you.
I hear you got a new ticker.
That's right. I'm all right, though. How you doing, babe?
Me, you know, same old, same old. So what's up? You on a private ticket now?
No, no, just doing a favor for a friend.
What case is it?
James Cordell, ATM holdup. Let's see, January 22nd. Newspaper says he was shot by a guy wearing a ski mask.
Who's this friend you're doing the favor for?
Graciela Rivers, her sister, was shot in a convenience store 2 weeks after that. Also a man in a ski mask. Am I right? Are they connected?
Yeah, same guy. Out of your orbit, though. I mean, scumbag with a gun. Three strike shit, that's all.
What do you mean?
You know, guy has two felonies. Third puts him away for life. So instead of leaving witnesses, he kills them. Robbery, murder, it's all the same sentence for him either way.
Well, I talked to the boys over at LAPD, and they showed me a tape, but they wouldn't copy me the murder book.
Hmm.
I bet they copied you, though, huh?
Hmm.
Come on, darling. You owe me just one little one.
Oh, I know that. When you handed me the cemetery man bus, hell, you were my membership into this goddamn boys club. I have not forgotten.
Does that mean yes?
Terry McCaleb. Lucky for us, the bank had two cameras on this. The shooter's back there. I'm betting that the mask isn't on yet, otherwise Cordell would have run. Now, H&K 9mm, same model used in the Valley tape.
Hold that. Back it up a little bit.
Back up there, yeah. He's saying something. Just like in the Valley tape, he said something there, too.
Yeah, he's a real chatterbox.
Did you get a lip reader in?
I'll get on it.
What about his cartridge? You pick up his brass? Yeah, there he is.
Mm-hmm. James Lockridge. Pulled into the bank parking lot, almost got sideswiped by a sedan roaring out. Says it was a white guy, but couldn't give us anything else. He called for the ambulance, and of course, Cordell died on the way to the hospital.
You got any leads at all?
No, I'm following the three-strike thing. I think the man in the ski mask is one of those.
What about the gun? H&K is kind of expensive for a holdup man. That's kind of weird he'd keep it after the first killing.
Yeah, I thought about that. I figure he stole it, but that didn't lead me anywhere. I don't know, McCaleb. I think we're going to need fresh blood to solve this one.
Well, Jay, why don't you be kind enough to get me a copy of the book? Both years in L.A., could you?
I'll ask the captain. I don't see why not. You know he was the lieutenant on the cemetery man case.
Yeah, I kind of remember that. Oh, well. Glad someone got promoted.
Right here.
Mr. Lockridge, I'm Terry McCaleb. Thanks for seeing me.
Are you a policeman?
No. I'm a retired FBI. I'm investigating a related case for a victim's family.
Good, because police are stupid.
Why do you say that?
What, didn't they tell you?
No.
Right, why would they? When I found the guy shot, I called 911, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they got the address transposed and sent the ambulance to the wrong place. It took them 20 minutes. The guy was still breathing. He might have made it if they hadn't screwed up.
Well, those things happen, I guess.
No, they don't. They screwed up. Guy died. End of story. Look, I'm real busy, all right? I agreed to see you because you're already here, so what do you want?
Well, I read your statement. I thought maybe you'd give it to me firsthand.
Oh, love of God. I needed cash, okay? As I pulled up to the lot, the guy driving out almost hits me. And it was dark. All I saw was a car. There were no plates, no face, nothing. So then I walk up to the ATM, and there's this guy bleeding. And I figured he just got it right before I got there, so I call 911. 10 minutes later, here they come, driving right fucking past us. Past us.
Any other details you can think of?
Yeah, that it could have been me. Could have been him finding me. With the ambulance driving right on fucking by. Good stuff.
A cab pulls up outside the Soledad Canyon Bank, and McCaleb gets out. He approaches the ATM, which is shielded from the bright sun by a green canopy. McCaleb looks across at a security camera mounted on the wall of the opposing building. He runs the tip of his shoe across a stain on the pavement. Someone comes up behind him and puts their hand on his shoulder.
You done?
McCaleb looks alarmed by the long-haired, bearded man.
Yeah.
The man steps forward and puts his card in the machine. McCaleb is heading back to his boat.
Hey, buddy.
Here's to you, Terry. Semper Fi, auld lang syne, keep on trucking.
Hey, you look like a skunk. What are you doing tomorrow?
Same as always, big fat goose egg.
Well, I could use a driver. $10 an hour and meals.
Oh, yeah? What's up? An investigation?
Look, I just need a driver, not a partner.
Yeah, okay, I'm in. Whose car?
Well, we could either take yours and I'll buy the gas, or we could take mine and I'll sit in the back, because
The airbags.
Because your chest, right?
Yeah.
I tell you what, let's take mine. That way I won't feel like a chauffeur with you in the back.
See you in the AM.
You look tired, Terry. You should get some sleep.
McCaleb makes a mark on the form attached to the clipboard and adds a series of numbers before putting his pen down and wearily rubbing his chin. As he's sleeping, he experiences a strange dream where everything appears as if in a photographic negative. He's standing in Kang's market.
You don't deserve it.
The masked gunman shoots at McCaleb. As each bullet rips into his torso, the negative image momentarily changes to colour. McCaleb falls against the shelves as he collapses on the ground. As the last bullet leaves the chamber and thuds into his flesh, McCaleb wakes from his nightmare. It's daytime, and McCaleb is in his doctor's office.
First of all, I have no idea where your heart came from. All Boper tells us is they have an organ available with a blood work match to someone on the waiting list. In your case, we told you exactly what we knew. Female, 32, perfect health, perfect blood typing, perfect donor. That's it.
She was murdered, Doc.
Murdered?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
She was shot in the head during a robbery, and she lived long enough for me to get her heart.
How do you know this? You're not supposed to know anything about the donor.
Her sister tracked me down. She read an article in the paper about how I had this rare blood type, like her sister did, and that my surgery was on the same day she died.
What does she want, money? I'm glad you can find it funny.
Don't you understand? She wants me to find out who did it. She wants me to solve her sister's murder.
Oh, shit. Give me this woman's name right now. We're not thinking of doing this.
I started yesterday.
Yes, and today you're running a fever. You are 60 days post-transplant, Terry. As your doctor, I'm ordering you not to do this. You have to respect the gift you were given.
I do. It was her gift.
Yes, and she'd be dead whether or not you got her heart. You don't owe her this.
It was supposed to be an accident. 99 out of 100 of these cases are a head injury that ends up being fatal. This one is different.
Oh, different. How's it different? A heart's a heart.
An accident is fate. Murder is evil.
Oh, please.
This gift you're talking about, I wouldn't have had it if somebody hadn't done this hateful, evil thing.
You're not making sense.
She goes into a store to buy a candy bar for her kid. I can't explain it.
Harry, sit down.
He does so.
Terry, you know that little boy in room 218?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's waiting for a heart that isn't coming. That could be you. This is your one chance, Terry. You tell that woman no. You save yourself and tell her no.
I can't.
You're gambling with your life, Terry. You start getting infection or rejection, there's nothing we can do to save you.
I have no choice.
Yeah, well, neither do I. I can no longer be your doctor, Terry. I'm not going to be around while you do this.
Oh, come on, Doc.
I'll have your records ready in the morning. Good luck, Terry.
As McCaleb leaves the room, his doctor, Bonnie Fox, closes her eyes and holds her hands over her mouth and nose.
Graciela, make it quick.
Hello?
This is McCaleb.
What's going on?
Tell me about her, will you?
What do you mean?
Just tell me something about Gloria.
The more I know about her, the
more I can get a handle on this thing.
Okay, do you have a kitchen on that boat of yours?
Galley, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so is it big enough to cook a real meal?
Yeah, sort of.
So, you want to know my sister? Then you're going to have to meet her son.
It's everything that was good about her.
It's in that boy. I'll bring him by later and I'll make you dinner.
Good, I'd like that.
Okay, then you can give me an update.
Yeah. Look, just so you know it, these cases usually turn on some small detail.
Something someone forgot or
didn't think was important. That'll be the key, and I'll have to find it.
Well, you have Glory's heart. She'll guide you.
Graciela hangs up, and her boss turns to her.
Quick enough?
You okay, Ter?
Yeah.
Huh?
Dandy.
Tell you what, why don't we stop by the Unknown Bird? I'm Victor. Get you something to eat.
A forklift passes in front of Tolliver Industrial Metals. Buddy pulls up outside the industrial building.
I think they're serving hamburgers here. What's up?
Well, the sheriff's office made a list of all the three strikes robbery suspects. They also made a list of every H&K P7 pistol that's been stolen over the last few years. So last night I charted that list, plus the address and the work location of every man on the list.
So like a cross-reference, see if they overlap?
Exactly. There's one guy that stands out like a whore in church, and that's Mikhail Bolotov. Seems he's a two-time loser, and he lives a mile from where Gloria Torres was shot and works about four blocks away from where an H&K was stolen in December.
So why didn't they arrest this guy, this Polo... Polo...
Bolotov.
Bolotov. But, oh, a Russian son of a bitch.
Yeah. Well, they don't know about the pistol. It seems he has a good alibi. It's his time card. He punched out after the Cordell murder.
But, like, a friend could have done that.
Yeah, true.
So I still don't know why we're here.
Well, this is where it works. I'm gonna go have a talk with him.
McCaleb and Buddy get out of the car.
Cool.
Where are you going?
We're gonna lean on him, right? You go after him, I pull you off. Good cop, bad cop.
No, you stay with the car.
Come on, man, Starsky and Putz. Whoa, what are you expecting in there?
Nothing. This is just for show. Here, you hold this.
McCaleb has tucked a gun in a brown leather holster into his waistband. He heads off, leaving Buddy looking a little disheartened and holding a briefcase. McCaleb heads into an office.
Can I help you?
My name's McCaleb. I'm conducting a follow-up on the Sheriff's Department investigation of February 3rd.
Okay, just a minute, please. Mr. Tolliver, there's a Mr. McCaleb from the Sheriff's Department here about something.
We're awfully busy, Mr. McCaleb.
Well, I'll get right to the point then. A few months ago, you had a couple of deputies come out here and ask you about an employee, Bolotov?
Yes.
Well, I'm on the case now, and I'd like to get a few additional points, if you don't mind.
I'll tell you what I told the others. Michael Bolotov was working that day. You can see his time cards if you'd like.
On a given day, how many employees do you have out here at one time?
85.
85, is it possible that one of them might have punched his time card for him?
But we've been in business 16 years. I mean, it's happened.
Is he here today?
Yes, that's him over there.
Polotov, that's Russian, isn't it?
Yeah, they're good workers and they don't complain. I don't mind being paid shit either.
I'd like to talk to him.
In here?
Yeah. You want to maintain your cooperation with the sheriff's office, don't you?
Yeah, all right.
McCaleb watches as Tolliver approaches Bolotov. The Russian is a tall man with bleached blonde hair. Bolotov raises his welding visor and stares up at McCaleb with icy blue eyes. He joins the older man in the office.
Mr. Bolotov, have a chair.
Bolotov takes a seat, looking surly.
Where were you on the night of January 22nd?
I told them before I worked that night.
I know you did, but we know things now that we didn't know then.
What things?
There was a burglar on Mason Street, about four blocks from here. Is that where you got the gun?
What gun?
And February 7th, I suppose you got an alibi for that night, too.
I don't know that night.
Of course you do. That's the night you walked into Kang's grocery store and you killed two people.
Who are you? You're not a cop. Cops goes twos. Who are you?
I'm the Lone Ranger. Now sit down.
Bolotov hurls Mikhailov onto a sofa and swiftly removes the gun from his waistband. The Russian holds Mikhailov down, then rifles through his clothes and takes out his wallet.
No badge. See? No cop. General Mikhailov. Maybe one day I pay you a visit. Yes?
Mikhailov kicks Bolotov away. The Russian grabs a chair and is about to bring it down on Mikhailov when Buddy rushes in with Tolliver. Bolotov punches Buddy in the face, then throws the chair through the office window. He jumps through the gap and runs away through the workshop.
Not now. Tell him I'll get back to him.
Bolotov's alibi is about as solid as a loaf of bread. Think about it, Jerry.
No, you think about it, Terry. You don't have a badge. And even if you did, it'd be the wrong one.
Well, I like him for this.
Bolotov is an ex-con. He could have done what he did for 100 reasons.
I still think you should put out a pickup on him.
I don't
want
you
soda, Terry.
Who the hell are you?
I'm Buddy. I'm Terry's partner.
Sorry. Oh, that's great.
Let's get back to Bolotov here.
I've already sent a car to his apartment. He's gone. Split.
Well, there, I hit a nerve.
I'll say. Remember my lieutenant who became my captain? He's not happy, Terry. He doesn't want to hear from you or about you again.
Wait a minute, that's not fair. Terry has worked very hard on this. I mean, we both have.
Shut up. Also, my captain wants the tapes and the murder books back tomorrow, first thing in the morning.
Is that going to give you enough time to copy everything?
Yeah, I've already done that. Thanks.
Go home. You look like crap. Wait a minute. Lip reader is 90% certain that the shooter was saying Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine. Well, that doesn't sound like your average three strikes guy now, does it?
What's the average these days, Mikhailov?
Not much, man.
On his boat, Mikhailov is replaying the surveillance footage from the robbery and shooting at Kang's Market. He pauses the tape at the moment the gunman took Gloria hostage.
So how much homework do you have?
3 questions.
Hey.
Hey. You forgot, didn't you?
Well, sort of. I kind of got lost the last couple hours.
Well, it's okay. You know, we could always do this another time.
No, no. We're having dinner. Come on up. Is this Raymond?
This is Raymond. Raymond, this is Mr. Mikhailov, the man I was telling you about.
How you doing, Raymond?
What's the following sheet?
That's the one that you have to watch for. That's the one that's right behind you.
Where's the kitchen? Oh, I mean the galley.
Right in here. Right in here.
Can you fish off this boat?
Yeah, you can, Raymond. Come on back here. I'll get you a fishing pole.
Graciela heads inside and sees the freeze frame on the monitor. Caleb hurries to switch it off.
I didn't want you to see that.
Was she ever scared?
No, she never knew. Never knew anything.
What I've asked you to do, it just isn't fair. Is it?
There's a nice restaurant over in the marina. Good atmosphere, view of the sunset. Why don't I just take you to dinner there?
She nods in agreement.
So why do you live on a boat?
I hate mowing lawns. Why do you live on shore?
Well, because that's where my warm, cozy apartment is. You were right, though. It's a great sunset.
Yeah, you never get tired of it. Is he staying with you?
Yeah. His dad is in Rwanda.
Well, he's a great kid. His sister must have been a good woman.
So how's it going, Michaela? Any hope?
I want you to start thinking about your sister, who her friends were, where she went, all of her routines.
All right. How come?
That's just an angle I'm working on. Did she ever know a James Cordell?
Cordell?
Yeah.
No.
You sure?
I'm positive. Why?
I don't know. Maybe nothing. This might be premature.
Wait a minute. You think this James Cordell killed her?
No. Nothing like that.
Stop, Michaela, with the prematures and the angles. Why?
James Cordell was killed at an ATM machine 2 weeks before your sister died. We think it's the same gunman in both cases.
So why would Gloria know Cordell? They were both just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Now, this investigation is being conducted under the theory that the locations were chosen and the victims were random. I think it's the other way around. I don't think it's the where that's important so much as the who.
But the gunman took money, so it's robbery.
You gotta bear with me on this now. Cordell and your sister must have been connected in some way. There's some intersecting link between them and the killer.
Okay, I'm not following you.
Well, in the Bureau, we used to call this a full-field investigation. That's what I'm conducting here.
Full-field investigation?
Yeah.
Okay.
Come on!
Raymond beckons for Graciela and McCaleb to catch him up.
You know, there was one thing that's always bothered me.
What's that?
It's nothing, but...
What is it?
Glory had this piece of jewelry that she always wore. It was like a good luck charm. She never took this thing off. And when the police brought me her personal effects, it was missing.
What was it?
It was a single earring, dangling crucifix.
McCaleb recalls a similar earring worn by the bearded man at the ATM.
Okay. So what does it mean?
Nothing. Some killers take souvenirs, I suppose.
That's sick.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm all right. I gotta get back to the boat, though. I gotta get my medicine.
We have to get going, too. I mean, Raymond has some homework and, Raymond! Raymond! We've gotta go! And say thank you to Mr. McCaleb. Come!
Thank you!
Raymond runs to his aunt.
Okay.
Say thank you.
Thank you.
McCaleb is rewatching the tape.
And he takes the earring.
Hey, buddy.
What's up? You're working tomorrow, 6 a.m.
Cool.
Whatever.
Buddy and Michaela are on the road.
Who wants to go to the desert, anyhow?
Go where the clues lead.
Don't any clues lead to the beach?
They lead where they lead. Usually pretty close to where they started.
I gotta ask, Terry.
How did it feel?
I mean, back in the day, back when you were going up against all those sickos.
It was my job.
Oh, come on, man. I mean, driving a truck, that's a job. I mean, you know, all those killers, you know, that used to hunt down. Like, I read in the paper that some of them used to leave you messages. That ain't truck driving.
Only one, actually, ever left me messages.
Sorry, I'm sticking my nose in it. I know.
Connected.
What?
That's what it was when I was at the top of my game. Connected to just about everything. The victim, the killer, the crime scene. Everything. Just felt like it was all part of me. It's beginning to feel that way again.
Cool. Well, you know, I'll tell you what. Driving's okay because I would shit my shorts. I would. But, you know, hey, that's why you're a famous cop and I'm a boat bum, you know, a loser.
Buddy, you're not a loser.
Oh, it's okay, Terry. Only my mom has to tell me that. My friends can tell me the truth.
Buddy grins good-naturedly. He drives up to a single-story house and Michaela rings the doorbell. a woman comes to the door.
Mrs. Cordell? Yeah, I'm Terry McCaleb. I called you. Is this a bad time?
As opposed to a good time?
Poor choice of words. Can we talk?
Is that your partner in the car?
Yeah.
Thought about hiring a private investigator, but I just couldn't afford to. Couldn't afford to find out who killed my husband. You work for the police?
No, I'm a retired FBI agent, but I'm also a friend of the family of the woman who was killed in Canoga Park. We think it's the same gunman in both cases.
I see.
First, I'd like to tell you that I'm sorry. I know it's hard coming from a stranger, but I went through all the files. James seemed like a good man.
Funny hearing him called James. Everyone called him Jimmy. And he was a very good man. How can I help, Mr. McCaleb?
Let's see this photograph here. Does this woman look familiar to you? Is that someone your husband might have known?
I don't think so. Is that the victim from Canoga Park?
Right.
Is that her son?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. How could my husband have known her? Are you suggesting...
No, nothing like that.
Like what?
Well, we think that your husband and Mrs. Torres may have crossed paths with the killer at one point or another. Sort of the relationship between the victim and the gunman. So the smallest detail of your husband and Miss Torres coming in contact with one another is very, very important. Something like dining at the same restaurant, for instance.
A restaurant the killer went to?
Yeah.
It sounds like stalking, not robbery.
Well, to be honest with you, we're not sure robbery is the motive in this case. When they brought back your husband's personal effects, was it all there? Was anything missing? Rings, watches, anything like that?
No.
You're sure he couldn't have been in the valley 2 weeks before the shooting?
No, in fact, he had just spent a month up in Northern California working on the aqueduct. And when my husband wasn't working, he was home with me.
Is that his car?
Yes.
Any personal effects in that?
There's a picture of the kids on the dashboard.
Still there?
I don't know. I would think. Someone from the sheriff's department drove it home, and I haven't been in it since.
McCaleb climbs into the driver's seat.
There it is.
Here, yeah. Any of this stuff here, your husband's favorite knickknacks, this coffee mug or anything like that?
No, I'm sorry.
Well, in the next few days, could you jot down your husband's routines for
me? Wait a minute, his sunglasses.
What?
They always hung from the mirror. He kept them on one of those cords. They're missing.
What kind of glasses were they?
They were Wayfarers. He had them for years.
Wayfarers?
What do you think it means? I said, what do you think it means?
Probably nothing. Thanks, Mrs. Cordell. I'll call you if anything comes up.
The bearded man was wearing the same brand of glasses.
Easy, Mac. What's the matter? You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. You know, I saw the killer, buddy. At the bank, at the ATM, where Cordell was killed.
Wait a minute, that's crazy. That's the last place he would be.
No, it fits the profile.
Profile? What profile?
Take me to the L.A. County Sheriff's Office.
No, wait, I don't get it. Why would the killer go back? Never mind. I'll just drive.
Now you're starting to get it. If
this goes on any longer, I want a raise.
How about workman's comp?
Detective Winston's out in the field. Can I take a message?
No, just tell her McCaleb was back.
Hey, she wanted to see you, Mr. McCaleb.
It's McCaleb, Jay.
We got it. And I'm in the room. You should get yourself down here ASAP.
What was that first part again? I didn't get it.
I said, we've got Bolotov.
McCaleb walks away from the mic in the communications room. Buddy has parked alongside other vehicles under a road bridge. onlookers are being held back with police tape, which is lifted to allow McCaleb to duck under it.
You can stay there, buddy.
This sucks.
Trash collectors found him an hour ago. We're guessing he's been here since early a.m.
What are these guys doing here?
Believe it or not, this alley is the line.
The line?
South side's LAPD. North side is the sheriff's department. We're not sure if he's got jurisdiction yet.
Bolotov is dead.
Congratulations, old man. Looks like you shook him out of his tree. Dumb bastard killed himself.
H&K 9mm. Same as both murders. I bet ballistics confirms it.
What are you talking about?
What he's talking about is this case is closed.
Bolotov, he doesn't fit the profile.
The profile of what?
The serial killer.
Well,
wait a second. This guy stalks his victims and kills them on camera. And he takes items. Trophy items.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I was at the ATM crime scene. The killer was behind me. He had Cordell's glasses on. And he had Gloria Torres's earring.
Did they look like these? This? And this? Huh? Look, I don't care what you call them. We got them.
No, his hair was long.
Could it have been a wig?
Maybe.
You want to sit down, Terry?
No, I'm fine. Okay? I'm fine, goddammit.
Why don't you lay down, Terry?
All right, go. Shut up.
I don't have access right now. I got the battery.
Give me the tweezers. There's something in his mouth. It's a bullet.
There's no way they came from a 9mm. Looks like a 38 to me.
Why would he put a 38 slug in his mouth?
Same reason that he had died on the jurisdiction line here. Somebody's trying to jerk us all off.
Well, personally, I like being jerked off. This case is closed in my book.
You're just worried, aren't you, Rango?
Worried?
Yeah.
About what?
You're just worried that I might bust this case. You don't care who gets hurt or who gets killed. Just as long as I don't bust the case, right?
What the fuck is it to you, anyways?
You remember Gloria Torres, that victim you didn't give a shit about? Well, I've got her heart. That's what. That's right. I'm alive because she's dead. So that puts me in this thing big time. Now, you're an asshole and you can't help it. But I'm on this case for a while. I'm going to be along until we get this guy. I don't care whether it's you or him or whoever. I'm in this thing for the full ride.
You stay out of my city, McCaleb. Go get yourself a dick transplant. I don't care. But if I catch you on the field, you're going to need one.
You ever think about that? Conflict of interest?
Pain in the ass. How much do I owe you, buddy?
I don't know. 200 or so?
That sounds right. Take a check?
Yeah, sure. You look like shit, man. You should take a nap or something.
Thanks. I will. Who do I make it out to, buddy?
No, Jasper. Jasper Noon. N-O-O-N-E.
Yeah, I know the noon part, but Jasper.
I look more like a buddy than a Jasper, huh?
Yeah.
Take a nap!
As McCaleb walks away, he raises a hand in acknowledgement. He writes out a check and pins it to a notice board.
Ray, stay out here. Be careful on the edges, okay? I'll be right out. So, is it true?
What?
I heard it on the news. They said that they found a Russian man who may be the killer.
I don't know. I don't think so, but I don't know.
But they said they had all kinds of evidence that could link this guy up to both murders, McCaleb.
That may just be two cops who are trying to get some headlines. I don't know, Graciela. Sorry.
You're starting to sound like LAPD. I need some answers, McCaleb. Because no one knows. No one has a clue as to what that little boy goes through every night without his mother. I'm sorry.
She takes a notebook out of her handbag.
I did what you asked. I made a list of all of Glory's routines.
That's good.
You know, she used to go to that market almost every night. She would take take Raymond to McDonald's a lot, too much. The one on Ventura and Reseda. And, she'll go bowling. But not lately. She used to visit an aunt of ours every Thursday because our aunt was in a nursing home in Culver City. And like a responsible person, Glory never missed a day of work. She'd give blood every couple of months. She'd take her son to school every day, and I want to understand why she was killed.
What? She gave blood?
Yes, McCaleb. Yes, yes. She's the same blood type as you are.
He'd be with a CMV negative.
Yes, the hospital would have paid her for that, but she wouldn't even accept money.
That's the connection.
What are you talking about?
That's the link between Cordell and your sister. It's the blood.
Wait a minute, blood?
Raymond runs up and down the jetty in front of Buddy. Both McCaleb and Graciela are on the phone.
Yeah, tell her I'll cover tomorrow's shift. Yeah, thanks. Do you ever use a cell phone, McCaleb?
No, I don't believe in them. I always stay with the hard line. Mrs. Cordell wasn't home.
All right, so is there another way to find out?
Well, if he gave blood regularly, he'd be on the computer.
Which computer?
The Bopra computer. That's for rare blood types. There's one at L.A. Memorial.
All right. I'm coming with you.
Get somebody to stay with the kid. What do you think?
What do you mean, babysitting?
Yeah.
Fuck.
How much?
I don't know. Beer. Case of beer an hour.
Okay, you got it.
McCaleb and Graciela stride along a busy hospital corridor. McCaleb pauses briefly at the open doorway of room 218, then moves on towards the nurse's station.
Hey, Doc.
Harry, what's wrong?
Nothing, nothing. Is there a place we could talk privately? I need to talk to you.
Bonnie leads them into her office.
You have 5 minutes. Who's this?
This is Graciela Rivers. That's the one I told you about.
So she's the one who put you up to this. Look at him. Look at his color. Look at the lines under his eyes. A week ago, he was fine. He was perfect, goddammit.
You know, I am sorry.
It's my choice.
Shut up.
It's my choice all
the time. Shut up. Sit down. Open your mouth. Lift your shirt up.
McCaleb does as he's told. When Graciela sees the scar running from the base of his throat to just above his belly button, she looks overwhelmed and crosses to a window.
What do you want?
We just wanted to know if...
Would you keep that thermometer in your mouth?
My sister was murdered. So was another man. It was the same killer. McCaleb found a link between my sister and this other man. They both gave blood.
What?
Well, my sister was the same blood type as McCaleb. AB with CMV negative. Now, McCaleb says that's 1 in 200.
Shh. What do you want?
I want you to access the Bopra computer. There's a James Cordell on there. I want to know what his blood type is.
That's unethical.
Now, you've got to help me. Because if my hunch is right, the killer already has access.
I don't know, I can't...
If you can't protect the integrity of the system, then there is no system.
All right. I'll do it on one condition.
What's that?
You let me run blood work on you.
Oh, come on, Doc. That's going to take all...
Yes or no?
Yes.
Sit down. I'll get the nurse.
Very still now.
We're almost done.
A doctor removes a tiny camera on a fiber optic cable through an incision in McCaleb's neck.
I want you to stop, McCaleb.
Stop what?
Everything. I was wrong to bring this to you.
No.
Yeah. Glory gave another person life. And that's really all I need to know.
No, no. Look, I got a new heart, but I didn't necessarily get a new life.
Well, I don't know what you mean.
Well, I lost a little something. But knowing you and working with you on this I feel a little bit of it coming back.
Bonnie strides in.
It's a list of the local ABCMV negatives. Cordell's on it. Same blood type as Taurus.
What's the D stand for? Deceased?
No, donor. Organ donor. They were both organ donors.
Both the organ donors. Cordell died on the scene, and Gloria lived just long enough.
That's crazy.
What do you say?
I missed it, damn it. I didn't think Gloria had anything anyone would want, but I missed it.
What did you miss, McCaleb?
Her blood. It made her unique. It made what was inside her very valuable to someone.
Yeah, someone like me. Anyone who could benefit would be a suspect.
Wait a minute. You're saying that she was murdered for her organs?
Yeah, the autopsy report had both bullets going through the frontal lobe. That could leave him brain dead, but not die right away. Of course, Cordell, 911 screwed up, but your sister had the Good Samaritan.
Who?
Yeah. That's the customer who came in and bandaged your head and called 911.
Terry, you can't get back
and talk. Can I use your phone?
Terry.
Now, let me just get a list of the organs, where all the organs went, will you?
Terry.
Graciela glances at her watch as a car pulls up outside Kang's market.
Detective Jay Winston.
McCaleb's on the phone.
This is a wrangle from West Valley Homicide, badge number 14110. I'd like a 1020 for a surveillance commencement.
At 171439.
Thank you.
1739. I'm out of my jurisdiction, McCaleb, and you're way out of yours. What's up?
The surveillance camera is 3 seconds behind the CCW clock. That's the one 911 uses.
Okay, so?
So, did you bring the tape?
Caleb stops the tape.
It's 10:40:58.
He puts the tape into the VCR, and footage comes up of Gloria smiling and talking with Mr. Kang. The gunman strides in.
All right, 22:41:37, Gloria shot. Jump down to 22:42:55, and here comes Good Samaritan.
That son of a bitch.
What? What is it?
This guy here. This unidentified Good Samaritan here, he tried to help Gloria. There's just one problem.
What's that?
The clock on the surveillance camera is only 3 seconds behind the 911 clock.
Right, and?
We think he made the call before he killed her.
No. No, that doesn't make any sense because the numbers... Wait a minute. The caller. It's the same guy. He called an ambulance before he shot her.
See, Cordell, his organs were no good. So this time the shooter was going to make sure that the ambulance got there, got a good lead. So he went ahead and shot Gloria, then he comes back with a bunch of bandages and tries to keep her alive.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Could this Good Samaritan be the same guy you saw at the bank at the ATM machine?
I don't know. Put a wig on him, maybe.
Well, dark makeup, this guy's Hispanic.
You got those ATM tapes?
No, you only told me to bring this one.
Yeah. Well, the ATM thing, the shooter probably had him on the way anyway. They went to the wrong address, so it doesn't matter. What do you think about Lockridge for this? I don't know, maybe. Whoever got the list of organ donors had to hack into the Bopra computer. Now Lockridge is a computer man, isn't he?
And he lives and works in my jurisdiction. Let's go.
McCaleb follows Jay.
Terry, I have to go with you.
You get back to Raymond. You take my car. I'll go with Jay.
As the trio leave the market, Graciela peels off towards McCaleb's white car. McCaleb looks across the street and sees the same black vehicle he saw the first time he visited the crime scene.
Why don't you pop the trunk? I'll put this stuff in the back.
Okay.
McCaleb takes a shotgun out of the trunk and pulls on the forestock. As he starts to make his way towards the black car, Jay sees him in her wing mirror.
What is he doing?
The person in the car is reading a paper.
McCaleb! What are you doing? McCaleb, you're killing me here! What's going on?
The man in the car suddenly drops the paper and takes off at speed. McCaleb fires at the vehicle, then follows its path. He blasts out one of the back windows. The driver takes the car down an alley, but a lorry blocks his path. McCaleb has to reload the shotgun, and the driver takes the opportunity to reverse at top speed. McCaleb jumps out of the way at the last minute and rolls across the ground. As the car makes it out onto the street, Jay deliberately drives into it. She climbs out and fires a few shots at the departing vehicle, but is unable to make it stop.
You okay?
Yeah. You okay?
Yeah.
Let's go see if we can find Lockridge at work.
What do you mean, let's go? We just shot up half the valley.
Now, did you hit anyone?
No, thank God.
Well, neither did I.
Let's go.
Sorry, but Mr. Lockridge didn't come into work today.
Is he ill?
To be honest, he hasn't called, and he didn't come in yesterday either.
Jay and McCaleb walk up a front path and ring on a doorbell. McCaleb peers through the window.
Hey, remember this.
The bare legs of someone lying on the floor.
Doesn't that look like probable cause to you?
Let's go.
Let's see if I remember how they did this.
McCaleb kicks the door open.
Shit.
Jay crouches beside a woman's dead body.
Her throat's been slit. She's been here a good 24 hours.
McCaleb is sitting on the curb.
You okay?
Yeah.
Got an APB out on Lockridge.
I might get suspended. But you did real good, McCaleb. Real good.
Well, I hope so.
She smiles as she pats him on the back.
I guess I better get home and get my pills.
Want some coffee?
Home.
Get your pills.
Night has fallen as McCaleb walks along the jetty.
You still got company.
How much beer do I owe you?
7 cases. But seeing how he's a good kid and a hell of a fisherman, I'll just take 2.
I'll get you the check in the morning.
That's what they all say. Good night, Terry.
Graciela is cooking dinner in the galley while Raymond does his homework at the table.
Hey, Mr. McCaleb.
Howdy.
Hey.
How are
you? Me and Buddy caught so many fish today that Buddy had to get more bait. Oh, I caught 6 all by myself.
Really? It kind of got to be a harbor record.
It's Buddy and I. Finish your homework, Ray.
So.
I'm not sure yet, but it's looking good.
Okay. When will you know?
Soon, hopefully.
for everything you've done.
I'm impressed.
Oh, that's my dad. He used to take Lori and me fishing a lot when we were kids. You know, they're all gone. But I'm glad I can still smile about her, you know. I couldn't at first.
This is a cool gun, Mr. McCaleb.
Shh. Raymond.
Hands off, no. Never, never touch a gun. See, you can look at it. See, this is a 8-shot Smith & Wesson. But we don't touch it. It's my fault for leaving it out. We never play with it, so stay right there. Understand?
What's this?
Oh, that's some code I was supposed to break, but I never could do it.
The code that was written in blood on the wall.
There's no one.
What?
There's no one. 903-472-568. It's all the numbers, but no one.
Yeah, how about that? No ones.
Hey, little man, come on. We gotta go. It's getting late. Come on.
Can we stay?
No. Gotta go home. It's getting late, okay?
I don't want to.
Well, you two just gonna let me sit here and eat alone?
Raymond loves this boat, and he was wondering if he could spend a night.
Yeah, there's a berth right up in front. You can both share.
Raymond beams with pleasure. Later, Graciela finishes a glass of wine. She gets out of the berth she's sharing with Raymond and tucks him in. McCaleb stares at his reflection in a mirror, unable to tear his eyes from the scarring on his torso. Graciela comes up behind him and turns him to face her. He seems self-conscious.
You don't have to hide it.
She holds her hands to his face, then kisses him on the neck, working her way down to his chest. She gazes at the scar for a moment, then kisses the wounded flesh. He slides down the wall, so his face is level with hers. They kiss. Mist drifts across the harbour. A man's shadow is thrown against the white hull of a boat as he makes his way along the jetty. The sound of a creaking step wakes McCaleb.
Somebody's up on deck.
What's wrong?
I don't know. Somebody's up there.
Raymond.
No. Too heavy for him.
McCaleb looks up at the windows and sees a man's legs walk past. Someone raises the hatch leading down to the cabin and peers into the darkness. As McCaleb climbs into the light, a second man comes up behind the intruder. McCaleb manages to push both men overboard. It's Arango and Waller.
You son of a bitch!
What the hell's going on here?
Oh, Jesus Christ, McCaleb! I came here because the captain wants you at a crime scene. Well, this is over. You better get an ass transplant, because I'm going to tear you a new one. Damn, it's cold.
All right, people, get out of the way, please.
There's McCaleb. Mr. McCaleb. Did you think this was over?
I can't.
Mr. McCaleb.
I don't know anything about anything. Oh, no. This is where I had my attack.
A body has been dumped against a mesh fence. A trail of blood drips down from a bullet wound in his forehead.
Lockridge.
James Lockridge, guy who found Cordell at the ATM machine.
Looks like your code killer's back. Happy Valentine's Day. Way to make a comeback.
It's
Some people get flowers, some people get chocolates. You get a dead guy.
McCaleb walks away from the scene.
Ms. McCaleb? Sir, McCaleb. Do you think it's the cold killer? Can we get some
anybody know the victim?
McCaleb sees trainers on the feet of a young man in amongst the press pack and grabs him. He has to be pulled away by uniformed cops. He struggles free and takes out a gun, which he fires into a stack of newspapers on the corner.
Paper said something you didn't like?
He retrieves the bullet.
Ballistics will match up this slug with the one in Bolotov's mouth. It was the code killer for all of it. Torres, Cordell, Bolotov, all of them.
What the fuck does that mean in English?
I shot the guy right here 2 years ago. The slug in Bolotov's mouth is the one I hit him with. Now I'm back, and so is he. Every second that we're talking in here, you could be out canvassing the neighborhood trying to get this son of a bitch.
Well, don't worry about it, Pops. We got a lot of good people out there.
Well, you're right, Arango. A lot better chance of breaking this with you in here rather than out on the street.
Hey, fuck you, Bureau Man.
That'll be enough of that, Detective.
Yes, sir.
Now, Caleb, this code killer likes to impress you. Any idea why?
I had a media profile, so did he. I guess he missed the matchup, me and him, being on the news every night.
I thought once these guys got started, they didn't stop. But your Cody's been down for 2 years. What do you make of that?
I don't know. I shot him. I always figured he crawled off and died somewhere.
All right, what do the numbers mean?
Don't know that either. We ran it by the computers at Cal, ran it by the code breakers at the NSA. Nobody comes up with anything. Except.
Except what?
There's no digit number one. No one. Whatever that might mean.
Guys, step out. Give us a minute.
Arango and Waller leave the room.
Okay. Just cop to cop, what's going on here?
Cordell, Gloria Torres. He did him for me.
Keep talking till I understand.
He missed the action, me and him. In order to get it back, I needed a new heart, so happy Valentine's Day.
Holy shit.
Now the love letters are going to start, hot and heavy.
McCaleb climbs out of Arango's car.
You might have the captain fooled. You don't have me fooled. You got Gloria Torres' heart. That makes you suspect number one in my book. What a waste of a good Mexican's heart. Get out of here.
McCaleb steps on board his boat.
Graciela? Raymond?
There's no sign of his guests, so he tips some pills into his hand and takes some juice from the fridge to swallow them down with. He looks across at Buddy's boat. Although he can hear him, he can't see him. He looks back at his notice board, then unpins the check he wrote out for Buddy. He stares down at the check for $200, made out to Buddy Moore, then steps onto his neighbour's boat. Buddy's sitting in the cabin with his feet up and playing a tune on his mouth organ.
Hey, Ter! Welcome to Davy Jones' locker.
Buddy, you seen Graciela and Raymond around?
Nah, they got tired of waiting for you. They left about an hour ago. You're all over the news, brother.
McCaleb picks up a bead necklace from a dish.
How long we been neighbors, buddy?
Well, I moved into the marina about a week after you.
McCaleb drops the necklace back in the dish.
Raise up your shirt.
What?
Raise it up.
Now.
With McCaleb holding him at gunpoint, Buddy tilts his head to one side, looking bored, then slowly lifts up his shirt to expose his chest.
Come on, turn around.
Buddy half smiles, then shows McCaleb his back.
I'm the following seed, man. I'm the one you need to watch out for. When did you figure it out?
On the check. No one. I had a little trouble with the Jasper part.
Oh. I could have killed you if I wanted to, Terry. I was behind you at the ATM. I followed you to Kang's Market, just like I followed Gloria Torres.
You sick son of a bitch.
I studied her. I chose her. She was my Valentine to you. I gave you life. What else you want to know? That necklace belonged to a girl named Sunny, Lockridge's wife. Yeah. When Sunny gets blue, I slit her throat. There's a story for every piece of crap on that train. Oh, come on, man. You're mine forever, Terry. Every breath you take belongs to me.
Every beat of that stolen heart is the echo of my voice in your head. Every day. Always. It all depends on you now. You pull that trigger, you'll never see him again.
What?
Kill me? No one will find him. They will die. Alone, in a black hole, and that will be on you. You know me. You know I am.
What do you want?
I want you to live. I want me to live. I want it all to start again, you know, the battle between good and evil. Can't you see I've been watching out for you, getting you back to where you need to be?
I'm not interested.
Oh, bullshit. Come on, man. That day in the car. What did you say? You felt... What was the word you used? Connected. You felt connected. Shit, I almost came when you said that. Because that's us. That's us, Terry. That's you and me. That's us. That's what we were meant to be. We're Cain and Abel. Kennedy and Oswald. We are shit in the bottom of somebody's shoe.
I have to leave now. And you're not going to follow me. You're not going to scrape me off. You're going to sit by that payphone and you're going to wait for me to call you from time to time. And when I'm relocated and ready, I'll let Graciela and Raymond go. Then you and me, we can start again. I hope you think of me as often as I think of you.
Buddy turns to leave, and McCaleb shoots him in the arm. As Buddy falls onto the deck, McCaleb grabs him.
God, crazy! Oh, call an ambulance!
You're gonna take me to him.
McCaleb uses Buddy's belt to make a tourniquet.
There, you keep that tight. I'll pinch off the artery and you won't bleed to death. Now, show me. Okay.
McCaleb is driving his boat out to sea. As night falls, a mist encroaches on the water. Buddy is leaning on the counter next to McCaleb.
Hey, what's it like having a chick's heart? You start watching soaps? Cranky at the end of the month. Hear some love song on the radio, you start crying. Plus, it's a spick heart, right? She was a wetback. You probably wake up in the middle of the night going, Rebecca, some enchiladas for the chalita.
Shut up.
Oh, check it out. Do you think when they were little girls, like going to Sunday school, do you think Gloria Torres ever thought that her heart would be pumping blood through some guy that was banging her sister? Huh?
You don't look so good, Ter.
You don't look so good yourself there, buddy.
McCaleb looks through a pair of binoculars and sees a stranded vessel a short distance away. There's a lighthouse not far from the stricken boat.
Ran aground in that storm last year, remember? Salvage company's gonna demo it next week. Till then, it's a perfect prison. Better than Alcatraz. My little shop of horrors. Oh, just so you know, I would never hurt that little boy. See, he's the same blood type. He's the backup, in case anything happens to his mom's heart.
Buddy taps his temple, looking pleased with himself. They pass a buoy topped by a flashing red light and pull up alongside the abandoned vessel.
Come on.
Do you really think you have a chance? I mean, with Graziella, do you really think she could love you? Because after her sister, man, after what she died for you, I mean, that's a tough one for her to get around.
Let's go. Let's get going. Oh. You can put the belt in your teeth.
McCaleb refuses to give Buddy a hand. Caleb follows Buddy through a metal hatch. Then the two men head down some steps, flooded with red light. They have to bend over slightly to avoid hitting their heads on the low ceilings. Buddy passes through an engine room and leads McCaleb down some more steps. Faint patches of light are barely enough to see by as Buddy guides McCaleb further through the belly of the ship. Shimmering bilge water is reflected on metal surfaces. Buddy trudges along a walkway, suspended above the water, and stops at the end. He leans back against a door, looking weak from loss of blood, but still with an air of smug superiority.
In there.
The key.
Buddy puts the end of his belt in his mouth, then takes the key out of his pocket with his good hand. He dangles it tantalizingly. He tosses it in the air, and McCaleb turns away to catch it. Buddy leaps over the railings and dives into the water below. He disappears from sight, and McCaleb tries to follow the trace of air bubbles, firing when he sees them. Faced with an ultimatum, McCaleb decides to unlock the door. A shaft of light falls onto Graciela's face.
Hey. Come on.
Maybe he finds us, Terry.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you. He may be on the boat, but I'm not sure if he's dead or alive. Let's go.
Buddy unlocks a padlock and takes some cartridges from the top shelf of a locker. His knuckles are bloodied and bruised. As McCaleb warily leads the way back through the boat for Graciela and Raymond, Buddy locks and loads an automatic weapon with a grim look on his face. The entire boat is on a tilt and creaks ominously as McCaleb leads the others towards the exit hatch. He looks back over his shoulder to make sure Raymond and Graciela have caught up with him, then cautiously starts edging towards the escape route. McCaleb urges Graciela and Raymond through a side door, just as Buddy appears at the hatch and fires off the automatic weapon.
Did your father teach you how to run a boat?
Yeah.
Good. It's just down the end of this gangway. I want you to wait a few minutes, then go on down there. Use this knife if you need to cut the lines. Back off about 100 yards or more, and wait till I call you. All right.
If I don't call you in a half hour, get the hell out of here.
Caleb is breathing heavily as he presses his fingertips to the center of his scar. As he moves through the boat, he has to press his hand against a wall for support. The haunting sound of Buddy's harmonica drifts through the abandoned ship. Caleb pushes open a hatch and steps into a corridor. Buddy shoots a hail of bullets at him. Caleb manages to take cover. Graciela and Raymond are still making their way up through the boat. Caleb makes his way up some steps with his gun in his hand.
Get inside.
Graciela has cut the rope attaching Caleb's boat to the wreck. She quickly gets behind the wheel and reverses away. Caleb checks she's launched successfully, then steps out onto the deck. The mist is blown across the stern. Caleb hears a clanging noise and fires his gun in that direction. It was only the sound of a flapping pennant on a metal mast. Graciela and Raymond are waiting anxiously in the cabin of Caleb's boat. As she stares at the stricken vessel, red droplets fall onto the window in front of her. Buddy suddenly drops onto the windscreen and Raymond recoils in fear. Graciela pushes the throttle, making the boat surge forward.
Get down below, Raymond!
Buddy uses his position as a figurehead to rain bullets at the wreckage. Caleb has to duck and dive to avoid being hit. The boat rams into the wreck, and Graciela and Buddy are violently thrown forward. Caleb steps out of the shadows and slowly walks over to where Buddy has landed. His body is twisted into an unnatural position. Caleb comes to stand over him. Caleb points his gun at Buddy.
You said I was your friend and I could tell you the truth. Well, I don't need you at all.
Buddy reaches out for his weapon and manages to take hold of it. Caleb allows him to arm himself.
Ten ring.
He shoots Buddy in the chest and he's flung back into shallow water.
Saved you.
A manicured hand covers Buddy's face and pushes his head beneath the water. Graciela holds him there until he stops breathing. Daytime, the harbor is a hive of activity.
Right next to you, the whole time.
Yeah.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. Never felt better.
Got his ass.
Yeah, there's no one anymore. In fact, you give me a day or two to catch my breath, I'll write you out a full report.
I want to see it. Two of them okay?
Yeah, if everyone will leave them alone. Not get them any more involved than they already are.
I'll see what I can do about that.
That's a pal.
How are you planning to deal with all this?
Well, I've got Gloria Torres' heart. I'll probably just let that guide me. You got anyone, Jay?
Excuse me?
Police work can get kind of heavy on you. You got anyone at home?
Jay looks at Graciela in a thoughtful way.
Yeah. I got someone.
Michaela! That's it. I'm sick and tired of your grandstanding bullshit, cowboy.
You're out of your jurisdiction.
Yeah, maybe so, Sheriff. But I just want to let you know, just because you got a Mexican's heart, it don't make you one of us!
Arango, next time you come around this dock, this Mexican's gonna kick your ass.
What? You're out of your goddamn mind. Este pinche viejo loco cabrón que está diciendo que yo voy a hacer esto. All my life I've had to shitty jobs.
Got him talking to himself.
I didn't even know he spoke Spanish.
McCaleb has taken his boat out into open water.
Poor baby, he's been at this all morning.
Yeah. Raymond's fishing.
Wish I could get a big fat marlin and put it on his line.
The setting sun bathes the boat and its occupants in a warm glow.